Hey, everybody. We're Bob and Audrey, a husband and wife team.
And this is our podcast all about relationships.
We are marriage and relationship enthusiasts, believing there is a God-given design to thrive in both life and love.
And we think that Jesus is amazing and worth following with everything you have. On this podcast, we are putting together the truths and best practices we have learned over our 35 years of marriage, and more specifically, over the past 18 years, where we have spent our lives helping people love their relationships.
After getting through our own family crisis, we became passionate about rescuing and mentoring others. We have authored numerous books and developed on-demand courses that can be found on our website, lovemarriedlife.com.
And with all that said, let's dive into the episode for this week.
Welcome to the podcast of All About Relationships. Audrey and I, we're so thankful you've taken the time to join us.
And at the time of this recording, it's March 2nd, which means it's 2 days till my birthday.
Oh.
And I just want to mention that.
I was going to do that.
Oh, were you?
Yes, and I thought I'd get a brownie point or two for that.
I just beat you to
it. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, it's my birthday. I just need you to know it really is about me. This week is my birthday.
It's my birthday week, you guys. And I mean,
no one likes birthdays more than you,
babe. I just love it because, you know, March 4th is just like I came out marching.
Yes, yes.
And I'm marching forward.
Yes.
We're moving forward. Yep. So I just want to tell my friends, like the ones listening to this, you guys are my friends. So thank you for listening. And we have a great topic ahead today, but yeah. I just had to mention, of course.
I just had to mention.
It was my birthday.
It's my birthday.
And I'm turning 56.
Yes. And happy birthday, baby.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And thanks for the flowers today. You did really good.
Okay,
you got brownie points on the flowers.
Did I get?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Hey, to all our listeners, really, if you want to drop Audrey a line...
Info
at Love Married Life, do it. You know, just
so
tell
sweet.
Her, just Audrey, thank you so much. You love words of affirmation
that's very sweet.
And encouragement. So
I feel the love already.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're all applauding and cheering you on. Can you hear the roar of the crowd?
The roar of the crowd.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope you're feeling it back because I really do love my friends and I really want to help you to enjoy your relationships. Today's episode, Bob, really does apply to all relationships. But it's about playing nice and being kind and not complaining and to be truly connected and emotionally safe with each other.
Okay. And another thought in that, because yes, I want to be extremely kind.
Yes.
But also, you know, with regards to last week's episode, you know, we talked about, you know, safety in relationship.
Yes.
Being emotionally safe with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of great response from it. Mm-hmm. And we just want to kind of take it another step.
Yes.
In today's podcast and be very different, but, you know, refreshing. And it's just like, okay, I want to be that safe person. But
yes.
Now let's take, you know, a few more practical steps.
Yes.
And I believe, and this is my real hope, is that we would be able to see. You know, just really see differently. And because I know what blindness, you know, when all you see is you, when all you see is the hurt, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the bull, all he sees is red. And just that anguish and that disappointment, whatever it might be. And it's just like, wait a minute. I really do want to take responsibility for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, help me. I want to see because there's a limited capacity that I'm experiencing, and I want to be a safe person, you know, for my spouse, for my children. You know, I really do.
Yeah.
But yet I have experienced hurt, and I have experienced, you know, disappointments, betrayal, whatever it might be. But I'm willing. I'm really, really willing to begin to move, you know, towards you. And I want to be safe.
Mm-hmm. Last weekend, I was actually in Florida and I was at a women's conference and just speaking there as one of the speakers. And something had hit me the night before is that having a safe home where our home is truly a haven and even our atmosphere, like I think of our home being just put 6 feet in front of you and draw a circle, that's your atmosphere. That's when people come into your presence.
And they experience you.
Mm-hmm. And when people experience my home, whether that's my atmosphere or my physical home, I want people to feel like they're entering a haven, not entering a courtroom where there's going to be a jury and a judge, and there's going to be, a sentence for the person. And I think that we can, I think I said it last week, become geniuses at being so merciful without enabling, but we are safe, we are truthful, we are kind, and we can develop this because of our relationship with God, we are so safe with Him that I can receive that kind of mercy and then again just display that, show that, extend that to the people around me.
Yeah. When you don't feel safe in a relationship, typically what you do is your focus begins to shift, from connection to protection.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not feeling safe in the relationship, then my focus, okay, my vision shifts from wanting to connect with you to needing to protect
you. I need to protect myself from
you. And then I become defensive, and you might experience, me as a judge.
Yeah.
You may just enter into my courtroom.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you.
It's interesting that we're saying this. Like, our courtroom is like our atmosphere. It's true. Like, sometimes our atmosphere is feel like a courtroom where we're going to get misunderstood or all those things. And it seems that when we don't feel safe, we immediately don't make the other person feel safe. I think I said very quick reaction to, I'm not feeling this, so I won't. Like I'm going to put it this way. If I'm not feeling safe with you, all of a sudden I'm not predictable of what you can expect from my reactions. Mm-hmm. If I'm not safe with you, all of a sudden I'm going to start managing you, or I'll be a bit more hesitant to be affectionate with you, or I might start biting my tongue out of fear and then I stop speaking truth to you. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think of ways that I've reacted.
Yeah, different scenarios that there are.
When I feel like I'm in a courtroom, I feel like maybe I'm going to walk on eggshells. So then what I'll do is, because of reactions, and so then I'll immediately withhold my intimacy and my connection. And, what happens is this can happen so quickly in a relationship when we've just felt rejected or ridiculed and, we get nervous. Yeah. We just get nervous.
Yeah. Well, whether it's accumulative hurt, or a pattern, of the past. But then again, what I'm doing is I'm using my cognitive mind.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is I'm processing the data. And so in processing the data, over the years, I'm drawing a conclusion.
Yeah.
Okay. And so with that, it's typically something against you. Why? Because I'm protecting me. Mm-hmm. But when I begin to process, okay, because what I really want is I want understanding.
Always.
You see, what I want is for us to be able to be safe with each other. Mm-hmm. And in being safe, now I'm going to process this information for an understanding. Mm-hmm. And so what then I do is then, what is the values? What are the core beliefs of my heart? Because again, I gather understanding, or I interpret that with my heart. And that's why it's so important, to experience and take the journey and allow the Lord to heal the brokenness of our heart, because it is the seat of our identity. Mm-hmm. And so when it's fractured, and I really haven't known or experienced, the truth of my identity in Jesus, then I'm fragmented and I begin to look to you and to others as fulfilling that for me.
Yes.
Okay.
And that turns into a fear dance.
It does.
And I was recently with a couple this week, and I like to get, when I'm talking to a couple that is, just trying to work through this connection rather than protection. I love that you said it that way, Bob. This couple has been self-protecting with each other for so many years that it's become, very much their habit, their behavior, the ruts in the road. And I said, okay, let's get it down to the most simplest form of what your judgments are about each other. Because if we can get down to that, they can say, so as they speak, we find out that in the end, she really does believe that he's selfish.
Sure.
He's going to get what he wants. He just manages me within that.
He doesn't see me.
He doesn't see me.
He doesn't value me.
Yes, Bob. You might as well have been in the appointment.
I wasn't there.
No, but he's going to get what he wants. And I'll be low on the priority. But then so basically he's selfish.
Okay.
And now.
But again, that's.
Her assumption.
Her
judgment.
Right. But this is over history. You see, with my
tons of evidence. If you're in a courtroom, they've got a stack, a mile high of evidence. Yes. And then remember that time?
And so resulting in a wounded, broken heart.
Yeah.
And then the only way to survive is to harden your heart.
Exactly. So she says he's selfish. Mm-hmm. What is he saying? She's needy. Mm. So what he's saying is, you know what? I am so scared of her being mean to me. And I say no to fun all the time, but she doesn't notice that because I'm always in trouble.
He's always in trouble.
Always in trouble.
Wow.
And she thinks he's being selfish. And she goes, I'm not selfish. You're just being so needy because I'm actually sacrificing so much. If you knew how much I sacrifice and yet you call me selfish and I'm just constantly in trouble.
Well, that is a scenario of a fear dance.
Yes. And
you know, with it within a relationship.
When they've started to see this and lights are turning on and I'm saying, are you ready for the love dance? And now they're at the point where we're ready for the love dance. So where she was never satisfied, she now has a new narrative for herself.
Okay.
She goes, hey, guess what? You know what? I'm always satisfied in God. He takes care of me and always knows what I need. When she starts out that day, she's no longer accusing him of, you didn't call me, you didn't kiss me goodbye, you didn't, whatever that was that she's being needy of. All of a sudden she's like, you know what? I'm always satisfied because God takes care of me and knows what I need. And you want to hear what his narrative is about himself? I am content, peaceful and successful, and I am best friends with Jesus. Now, this is how they start their new dance of love, and it turns into fully disclosing the truth, the details, playing nice with each other, believing the best in each other, not having reactions to each other. It's starting to take form in being nice. Yeah. Like, I mean, can you just play nice? Well, not if you're scared. But if you know your source.
Not if you're in protection mode.
Right. But if you're going to believe, if you choose to be loved by God and believe the best in each other, all of a sudden, we're starting to play nice. And they're starting to enjoy life like never before. Yeah.
I know what you're referencing here.
Mm-hmm.
And I also am aware of the intention each of them have taken in allowing the Lord to heal their heart.
Yes.
Individually.
Yes.
You know, apart from the other person, I can take responsibility for me. But in doing so, now I can begin to approach you. Mm-hmm. Now we can begin to connect and really find that safe place with each
other. Now we can connect instead of self-protect. I think that's starting to be the theme for today. Yeah. Instead of self-protecting, I'm going to connect with you.
Mm-hmm. Perception really is everything.
It really is.
The way I perceive you.
Yeah.
You
know, perceive myself.
Right. Typically, that will be the way I'll experience you and you'll experience me.
Yeah.
And so if I'm not able to perceive it, now let's put it in a healthy context. If I'm not able to perceive the promises of God, the provision of God, the blessing of God, his favor, if I can't perceive it, how then can I receive it?
Right.
In a relationship with you and I, if all I see is pain, if all I see is disappointment, broken promises, your selfishness, your neediness, whatever it might be, all I'm going to do is continue to validate, you know, what I've seen, because I'll gather further evidence and I'll just keep getting more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
So what I need to do, and this is where I kind of led off in this podcast with, is I need to have new vision.
Yeah, new vision. I like that.
I need the veil, you know, to be lifted. I don't want to have this spiritual blindness, and I don't want to hold you captive. Jesus says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted, to, you know, set those that are captive free, to open their blind eyes. And it's not just in a physical sense, but also within my own heart.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a really good direction because this does apply to all our relationships. Yes, we're mentioning husbands and wives, but this is my kids. This is my parents. This is my friends. This is people I meet. I love that we're talking about coming into our atmosphere. I want there to be an invitation. Mm-hmm. So how can I be that safe person that you are going to be, I'll be a magnet to you, and it's, and you don't have to protect yourself right, when right, you're with me,
right?
Because you're going to feel loved.
Yeah, yeah.
We should,
yeah.
If we could go through maybe some of those.
Yeah, I will hit that list in just a moment.
Okay.
But what I do want to say is that, you know, in your current situation, your current perspective, I'm just saying that even today, you know, once this podcast is over, things can change so quickly within your own heart, because I want you to begin to recognize that the way that you see and interpret the world around you in such a way, you have over time kind of made some bad choices because of the way I've seen it. And even I've taken a wrong path, and it's affected the way that you think, and it's affected the way that you make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to begin to be able to perceive and see the promises of God. And that's where I'm really want to move to, because this then, the way, if all I've experienced is a lot of hurt, it shapes my interpretation of the world. It shapes my interpretation of you.
True.
Okay.
True. It's like you got bent. Like right. You're just, it's
and
not.
And then no longer
clear.
Do I want to connect. I do want to self-protect.
Definitely.
Okay. Because now you're not safe, but you're a danger place. But what happens is that the way I interpret, the way that I see is that in my current perception, it begins to drive my beliefs. Okay. It's what I've experienced. Now I begin to develop a belief, and then that belief then begins to move, and I begin to navigate through my decisions.
And would you say that, I'm just asking you here.
Sure.
So Bob, would you mean this is what I came to with that couple where she decided he's selfish?
Yes.
And he decided after all this, now the belief is she's needy. I'll never be enough. And I don't know if I want to spend the rest of my life trying to be enough. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And they had blown up their marriage, but now they're coming together because they're seeing this is worth saving.
Right. And so my perception, the experiences, the woundedness, you know, of my heart, you know, good and bad. Again, this can be either good or bad. But within my decisions, and recognize that I have a choice in this, but then what I do with my decisions, I begin to create my own life experiences. And then I take those life experiences and I begin to falsely validate the concept that the way you think is actually true.
Hmm.
See, that's the danger of a broken heart.
Self-protection.
Is that self-protection.
Yeah.
But then what has happened is that I begin to falsely validate the concept that the way I think is actually true.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I pass the judgment
then
against
you. Guess what?
You.
It's all your fault.
Mm-hmm. And then we move into the blaming.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably say that one of the most destructive things that result in a relationship where we are no longer safe with each other is blaming.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I cross that line.
Wow. Then it's almost like game over. Because if my problems are because of you and I'm not taking responsibility for my part in it, then I'm disempowered. Now mm-hmm. I'm waiting for you to change. I'm waiting for you to behave, whatever that is. And I have to sit here and wait and live in this misery until you change. But when I'm able to take that fresh look at myself and take personal responsibility and say, hey, I'm going to start today to be a safe person. I'm going to stop self-protecting and I'm going to do some things that will really result in, I'm going to start playing nice. Like I'm going to start just actually being safe.
Mm-hmm. Because
emotionally.
Because what you decide is basically all that you'll find.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, wait a minute. That may have been happened. That might be factual.
Yeah.
But what's the truth? You see, what's the truth about you? You know, what's the truth that I love and I adore, you know, about you? What's the truth about us and about our family? What is that? And so when I begin to really, I want to lift the veil and see things differently. Again, I've got the choice. This is a choice that I begin to make. So I don't want people to see, you know, that relationships are hard.
No.
Marriage is hard.
Right.
I don't want people to think that success is hard.
Right.
Like, you know, that, you know, healing would be difficult. It's just like, wait a minute. I want to begin to perceive the very promises of God, and I want to begin to see them really being mine. And so begin to meditate. Really begin. I want to get prosperity in my relationships. I want to get that in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to begin to open that doorway, you know, for new possibilities. And I really believe that it begins to be happen through that portal of gratitude and just really, really being thankful. So begin to meditate on the life that you believe that God has provided for you as a couple.
So what I really hear you saying, Bob, is you've got to start to see the possibilities before you can even start to, and then you can turn those into believing for them. And you can't believe for what you haven't seen. So start to open up that portal of thankfulness so you can start to imagine, wow, we could have these new possibilities.
Right. If so, then we can begin to make these practical steps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but until I'm really willing to partner with God and really allow Him, you know, to have the lordship over my life, all I'm going to do is, again, try to manage you.
Right, and that's why I started with, when I was talking about this couple where she's always needy, she had to start taking personal responsibility and saying, you know what? I have been needy. Fear of abandonment has made me want him, pressuring him to make me feel secure when he will never have enough to make me secure. So now her new heart belief, like you're talking
there
about, is I'm always satisfied because God ultimately is going to take care of me and he knows my needs before I even say them. Now, those are nice words, but if you start to believe that and that's your glasses every day, like, no, I'm actually not needy, even though fear of abandonment has had a lot of hold on me for a lot of my life, I'm being loved in a way that's just expelling all that fear. And I actually know God is my source. When my husband messes up or doesn't come home or whatever that happened to have been, God is my source. And all of a sudden she's becoming more attractive to her husband after 20 years because she's not needy.
Mm-hmm. So the emphasis, Audrey, that I really wanted to make, you know, before we go into these steps, people love steps. Give me
We're ready with a bunch of steps for you guys.
But until I deal with me,
And
it's just, it really is, Lord, I want to see.
Yeah. Because, and then the guy was, her experience was he's selfish. Well, when he really looks at himself, he goes, you know what? I, on the opposite spectrum of that, my belief system, what I'm writing on my heart about myself and my identity is, I'm content. I'm not always looking for the next thing. I'm not driven. I'm at rest. I'm content. I'm peaceful. And I'm best friends with Jesus. And I become like who I hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, wow, I've never seen him so peaceful and content.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Profound.
And out of that now,
that becomes attractive.
And all of a sudden she's attracted to him.
Yeah.
And now most of all, she feels more safe with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday during
I don't have to manage you.
During our session yesterday, Bob, she actually gave him the gift, the present. It was wrapped up in Harley Davidson wrapping paper. She gave him a present And it was the gift of trust. And she goes, you know what? I'm not going to question you anymore.
Wow.
Because I've decided you're not selfish. I've decided that you are best friends with Jesus. You're content and peaceful. And he was like, you're kidding me. You're not going to call me and ask me where I am all the time. And you're not going to, she goes, no, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to question. I'm going to trust you. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, whoa, why am I so attracted to you right now? You're not even being needy. And she goes, yeah, I'm not. Jesus is my source for real.
Yeah. So begin to meditate on the life you believe God has
and
promised.
The real you.
Yeah, yeah. But on the life you believe God has promised, you see, for you. You see, that this is the real me. And my heart is the seat of my identity. He's the only one who's allowed to tell me who I really am. Mm-hmm. And once I really become completely loved by him, now I'm not a needy one. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not, you know, a taker in a relationship. Now I can be a giver. So when that really begins to happen, then what I do is I actually begin to imagine what it would look like, what it would feel like. You see, that is me meditating, not just rumbling over or reading verses, but I'm engaging and I'm allowing my heart to enlarge its capacity for that to truly become my reality. You see, to perceive, then I'm able to receive. And when I receive, it's something that I actually go after, something that I take hold of and I bring to myself.
Yeah, clear vision.
Yeah, and Jesus really does want to heal my heart. And then this is, I can very simply then begin to make the decision, okay? And the decision is, we're going to have that life.
Yeah. And again, back to our couple.
Yep.
They are having that life. They were separated, and now they're making plans. They are going to live in the same home again. They are seeing the favor of God. You know, they've been on this journey for about 3 months. They're seeing promotion in their life. They're starting to see, as they've made these choices to believe and receive promises and really have friendship with God in a way that's more real than they've ever had before, they're starting to see the benefits, the rewards of the things that they've dreamed of.
Wow. I love it.
Yeah. It's been amazing.
There are a few characteristics that we just kind of want to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That you could write
how
down.
To make my atmosphere, which I'm calling my home, wherever I may go.
Make people...
That people
feel
with
safe.
Within 6 feet of me and a big circle.
When they encounter me,
I want people to be drawn in to this emotional safety that they have with me.
Right. Whether they know me or not.
Yeah.
Because this is who I am.
So the first one, consistency.
Consistency.
Yep. You know what you're going to expect and there's nothing crazy going on.
I know who I am.
I know who I am and I'm not going to be extreme. I'm not going to be over the top. And you can know that you're not gonna get a blow up from me. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get consistency.
Yeah, that how healthy is that? A lot of times, you know, when people move into that position of protection, it's almost as though, it's kind of like being called into the principal's office.
Yeah,
you know, who goes to the principal's office thinking it's going to be good news? So when you hear your spouse say, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Right away. Your defenses go up and it's like protection. But where there's consistency in the relationship, now what we're doing is we're creating healthy trust.
Yeah. And you know, on Monday morning, I had a big trip and some things had happened just the night before had to do with the trip home. We had to change planes, but just, it was like a perfect storm where several things hit me where I... just right where it hurts. So by Monday morning, I was low functioning. Honestly.
Not a good way to start birthday week.
No. And the thing is it doesn't happen. I'm going to just tell you truth.
It's good, baby.
I rarely low function like this.
I agree.
But I don't think I lost my consistency. I didn't raise my voice.
Nope.
I didn't lose my mind. Even though I almost did, but I wasn't exactly.
Nope.
Nice, but I was consistent and very communicative. Mm-hmm. I said, Robert and Bob are the only ones home. I said, you guys, I know you haven't seen me all weekend. I've been out of town. Some things have happened. And I just clearly said, I'm not doing well. Right. And I did in this tone of voice. I said, you guys, I'm not doing really well. Mm-hmm. I'm working through it, but please, if you feel a mood from me, it has nothing to do with you. And I'm sorry if I feel cold to you in any way, but this is hard for me right now. Yes. And I felt like I kept my consistency even within the storm.
Yes, you did.
You know, and I'm not mm-hmm. trying to do accolades here, mm-hmm. but it's just that we can get to these places where we don't have to, even when we're low functioning, we can still be consistent.
Yeah.
With each other.
Yeah. And
in our playing nice. Yeah. Like I want to play nice.
It was a tough day.
Yes.
You know, and I hung around.
I'm so grateful for you, Bob. I could not have been better.
Sure. I just wanted to make
you
sure.
You just nicely said, is there anything I can do to help? And I said, no. And right. you said, okay.
Because it wasn't mine to fix.
And you didn't walk away from me.
You need to stay present.
Yeah, you didn't walk away and you didn't say, I'm getting out of here. You're ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you didn't say you're being ridiculous to me.
I did not.
Or you didn't try to minimize, even though now I look back and those things weren't that big of a deal.
It's okay.
You didn't say.
You processed through it.
I did. And you didn't minimize me, which I appreciate.
Okay. So.
That's consistency.
She was consistent.
And you were consistent.
Thank you. But then we were also, number two here would be authenticity.
Yeah.
And you feel like you can be you.
We don't have to pretend.
With you.
Right.
We didn't have to pretend.
Right.
And you didn't,
I didn't have to hide.
Or to stuff it.
No.
And that we were safe with each other to be able to process through together.
Yeah. I think that's so attractive when you can see people that can say, yeah, we're not doing well, but we're also not taking it out on each other. We're not pretending, mm-hmm. not hiding, but also not punishing the other person in the meantime.
And then it invites, one another to be able to be vulnerable.
Yeah. Like you can be weak. I was weak that day, Bob, but I wasn't in fear that you were going to take advantage of me or that you were going to
scold
make fun of me
or tease me, oh my gosh, are you serious? Yeah.
Like it's very important to know that I could be vulnerable with you and that was okay.
Yeah, because it would have been very natural in times past to try and minimize what you're going through.
I think that would have been something
I would have tried to bring logic and reasoning to it.
That logic wouldn't have helped me at all, but you didn't
I have been safe? No.
But you would have been actually right.
That's like, true.
Because if you would have minimized it.
Being right doesn't always help.
But you didn't. You didn't do that. You could have. Now that I think back on Monday, you could have said, you're kind of overreacting.
Yes.
You're being kind of oversensitive right now.
Yeah.
You're not really seeing the sunny side of this moment right now.
Let me
just tell you the good parts.
Right. Let me.
Let me give you some perspective here
mm-hmm.
and then some encouragement. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have been felt like encouragement because instead you gave me, go ahead.
No. So what you do is you move towards the person in their pain.
Yeah.
You don't have to fix it and you don't have to bring reasoning or understanding to it,
mm-hmm.
but would you be able to be there with them mm-hmm. in it?
Yeah. And not rush me out of it. It took me a couple hours. Yes. You know, it wasn't an instant. Okay. It took me a couple hours.
Yeah, it did.
And the other thing is acceptance, like feeling listened to and valued by you, Bob, is so important because you're not trying to change me or compare me to someone else or criticize my behavior. And you just accept me as I am. And it's so important, you guys, that we do this with our children and with our friends. 100% acceptance, even when there's not approval.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be one of the best ways to invite people into your home, so to speak.
Yeah. Safety is a primary need.
Mm-hmm.
Safety is a primary need. I just let that rest. And, and so you're going to bring, some consistency, authenticity, vulnerability, acceptance, just recognizing safety is a primary need that they, this is what they need.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to give it. But I also want you to know that there is no such thing as a fail-proof relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There's limitations. I mean, we are all, broken and hurting in some sense or another. And it's impossible to be involved in a meaningful relationship and never feel a hurt or a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
It will happen. So, but what we want to do is be able to create this safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling safe in a relationship doesn't mean that your emotions will never be bruised.
Right.
Instead, it comes down to that I am able to trust you. You see, you're dependable. There's a consistency. There's an authenticity, a vulnerability. There's an acceptance that I have from you.
Yeah.
You see, there's a trust. You see, and that this is what an expression. And so if you could see it, this is the way I move towards God. He is so safe. Marriage is the illustration in the earth of how Christ really loved the church. And I want to be safe for you. Mm-hmm. And as you're hearing this, you want to be safe for the other. And because there is no intent of bringing harm to the other person, even when they misstep.
Mm-hmm. And I think that I would just like to say that as we're just coming this to the end, is that I just thinking about you and how you want to be. Bob said something about being able to see the promise, to have the ability to see. Can you see yourself? The kind of home, that means your atmosphere. So you know what I mean? Not necessarily just your physical home, yes, but also your atmosphere. They say your atmosphere is measuring 6 feet in front of you and then drawing a circle. That's your home. Do you think people can come to your home or experience your home and relax their guard? Can people be authentic without the risk of you judging them? Can they be with you without fear of being taken advantage of? And I believe that's you at your best. Just see yourself that way within your personality. It doesn't mean you have a certain personality, that you have to be a certain kind of person. I believe that everybody is called to love. And I'm describing what love looks like. Can you be that place where it's stable, that people come into your atmosphere and it's like they can immediately grow. They can move forward because instead of being unpredictable, it's like you're a sanctuary to others that come into your presence. And I believe that there's just going to be a calmness and a confidence when people are near you. And that's just a really beautiful, beautiful place mm-hmm. to come to.
Feeling emotionally safe.
Yeah.
Simply means feeling internally relaxed with a person. We feel free to let down our guard
and
show our authentic self, including our hurts, fears, and longings. This is being, feeling emotionally safe
mm-hmm.
with one another. And so I want to be that person
mm-hmm.
for you.
Yeah. Instead of judging who is not that way around you, be that person and just see how you start to change the atmosphere and invite healing and safety and just inviting people to be the real them.
Mm-hmm. And it requires, both of us, especially in a husband-wife relationship, it takes two of us to be really self-aware,
mm-hmm.
To be undefended.
Not protect ourselves. Not connection protect instead ourselves. Of self-protection. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And to be emotionally honest, with themselves and with ourselves, because what we want to do is create an intimacy dance.
Yeah. And it starts,
rather than allowing my fears to be triggered and react out of, with yours, there's a place of love in an intimacy dance that we can have with each other.
Yeah. And I'm just going to go back to the couple just to close with. If you feel like you've been accused of being selfish in a relationship, just say this: I'm content, I am peaceful, I am successful, and I'm best friends with Jesus, therefore I cannot be selfish. And if you've been maybe accused of being a needy person and you've feared abandonment, just say this: you know what? I'm always satisfied because God takes care of me and He always knows exactly what I need. He is my source.
Yeah. And thank you, Audrey. This has been really, really good.
It has.
And the precursor to you and I being safe with each other, and I just looking at you and get a little teary eyed.
I'm pretty cute right now.
Yeah, you're cute. It's your birthday.
Hashtag not. I've got a funny little
hashtag
pink.
Hashtag happy birthday, Audrey.
I'm wearing a pink scrunchie on top of my head, and it's been a long day.
Right. But again, we share things with you because we've walked through it ourselves. Yeah,
exactly.
And what's really healed our lives and being safe with each other is really I've experienced Jesus's love that's so real, and mm-hmm. he's healed my broken heart. There was nothing, I mean, you played a part in it, you know. You came along and you helped me, if I can say that. I was looking for this. You helped me, you know, in the area. Sorry.
I don't know what you're looking for, babe.
Yeah, you messed up my papers.
Oh, no.
Yeah. you again, we're each huge contributors in each other's lives.
Right.
But in the area of acceptance, consistency, authenticity, vulnerability, those are gifts that we give one
mm-hmm.
another.
Mm-hmm.
But the healing of my heart, I'm the only one responsible for it.
And when you were able to heal your heart, you gave me the gift of trust.
Yeah.
That you trust me and we can really move with that.
There wasn't enough that you could have ever done.
Right. To prove myself.
I understand that component
mm-hmm.
of character.
Sure. Okay? Earning your trust.
I understand that component. But ultimately, it comes to this place, I'm going to give it.
Yeah.
I'll trust
and
you.
And I cherish that gift, Bob. I love it. All right, you guys, it's been
great
hanging out with you. Hannah, whatever you're up to today, I hope it goes well. I just go for best case scenario.
Yeah.
I love thinking about the rest of my day best case scenario
it's
is
gonna be good.
Dream it up. Dream it big
mm-hmm.
of that best case scenario for your life.
Yeah, and if you're out
and for your day even.
If you're out and about and you're in the car and you've been listening to this and you're going to work or whatever it might be, dream about how will you re-enter home.
Yes. And how will people experience you?
How will people experience
you? Freak them out, man. Freak them out and think, wow, what happened to
them? Put a smile on your face and they'll think, oh, what's wrong with him?
Yeah. I love it.
All right, everyone. Thanks again.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.